Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 204, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. All the stanzas of Psalter 204.
Congregation, that portion of Scripture which we hope to read this afternoon can be found in the book of Esther, the 6th chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Esther 6. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in. And the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house, mourning, and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men, and Zeresh his wife, unto him, "If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him." Now, while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains, and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, it is once again in the afternoon hour of this last Sabbath day of this year and that we are still permitted by thee in the way of thy great patience and long suffering with us to enter once again into thy house of prayer, to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And then we are reminded in this day, and that all those means of grace wherewith we have been blessed will one day come to an end, that there will also be a last Sabbath day for us, and a last time that we may hear thy word read or preached unto us. That there shall be a last time that we may sing out of thy holy word. And then everything shall be a looking back upon that which we were so blessed to receive in our life. And then we can read in thy holy word that as the rain cometh down from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud. So thy word shall be that goeth forth out of thy mouth. It shall accomplish that which thou dost please, and it shall prosper in that thing whereto that thou hast sent it. And so it shall be also in the midst of us. But we can read that there are two things that thou dost please to do with thy holy word. And that it is for one a savor of life unto life. And for another it is a savor of death unto death. And thou callest unto each and every one, yet even in this day, turn ye from your evil ways, for why would ye die? And thou dost call unto us to seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is yet near. Oh, that thou would bind this matter upon the hearts of young and old. For, Lord, we cannot bind it upon our own hearts. Thou knowest what a dead man is able to do, and that is absolutely nothing. And that it is so necessary, though the responsibility lies with us, that we may experience something of thy sovereignty in the way of thy mercy, that thou wouldst look upon us, and that thou wouldst call us in a effectual internal way, and that thy word may be quick and powerful even in this last Sabbath of this year, that there may be one word that comes from thee out of heaven to strike our cold and sinful hearts. That we may say, carry me out of the battle, for I am sorely wounded. O Lord, then it is so necessary that we experience something while we are still in this time state, while we are between the cradle and the grave, and before that it is forever and eternally too late. For how shall all these means, when we will end in that eternal abyss, even with that rich man, all these means testify against us, and then to be in that place where hope shall never come. O Lord, when we have heard it in this morning hour, of her that may receive that great privilege from thee, the desires of her heart were known unto thee, and they were evident also, as we have heard, in her coming up continually to thy house of prayer. O, then it cannot be hid from thee, what thou doest in the life of thy children, and then it is often also not hidden from others either, even when their mouth yet is still closed. For then thy children can carry a lamp upon their backs. But Lord, that thou may give also such a sight as was seen by her of old, and that we may be given also that blessed privilege, that our mouths may show go open to those that look for redemption in Israel, and then to be enabled to speak of Him who has come from the place of His glory to this sin-cursed earth, even for such a one as I am. O Lord, then the wonders, they may be told in the midst of this world. Then there may be a little beginning of that eternal rejoicing. And then there may be a little tasting, a tasting in the midst of this world, amidst all that which cannot satisfy, of that blessedness of that communion with Thee. Oh, that Thou may work a holy jealousy amongst young and old. Wilt Thou remember Thy own children? Oh, do increase that faith that Thou hast planted in their hearts. Oh, then they may look on the right hand and on the left hand by times, and then they cannot find anything anymore so often. But Lord, Thou knowest the work that Thou hast begun. And then we say it so often, that Thou forsakest not the work of Thine own hands. But then it must be experienced also in the life of Thy children, who are not able to begin, but also who cannot uphold and cannot finish it, that Thou art not only the Alpha, but that Thou art also the Omega, that Thou art not only the beginning, but that Thou art also the ending, that Thou may give a little courage then unto those who are despondent and who long for that it may be as it was in the days of old. Lord, that Thou may grant a little token of Thy nearness, presence, favor, communion, or that the shining of Thy face may also be experienced here below, and may it be in our midst also. And when we are complete strangers of those things that we have heard in this morning hour, O Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou wouldst strike our hearts with an arrow from above. Oh, that before the year will end, that there may yet be the greatest blessing that we cannot miss, to be received by us and our children, when we have been recipients of so many blessings that pertain unto the time. But Thou knowest what we miss pertaining to the need of our soul and for that great and never-ending eternity. O Lord, we beseech Thee on the last Sabbath day of this year that Thou mayest yet do a wonder among us, amongst the young and old, amongst the little children and amongst our youth, and that Thou wouldst make us monuments of Thy grace and of Thy long-suffering, that Thou may look also upon all the needy ones. Thou knowest where that they are, those that do mourn and those that miss those whom they love. Oh, that Thou may uphold them in this time, and not only in this time, but each and every day. For Thou knowest their place and all that is within their hearts, and that Thou may remember all that are afflicted, all that are sick, all that have diseases, and all that receive treatments, all those that are handicapped, those that are in the prisons also, Lord. Thou knowest the place where they are, and there are those who are there rightly. And there are so many, and that also are innocent. And Thou knowest where they are also. And Thou art the great judge of the heavens and of the earth. Wilt Thou remember all those that bring Thy word to the far places in the world, Lord, that Thou may bless and sanctify Thy word of truth, and that Thou may give that amongst Jew and Gentile thy word may prosper, that the veil may be taken away from the eyes of the Jewish nation, and that they may be given to bow before thee and to kiss the Son whilst it is still called today. Lord, that thou may look upon all those that rule and reign over us. When this year is quickly drawing to a close, and thou knowest all that is done in the high places of the earth, oh, that thou may bring us again to thy footstool, and that thou may teach us lessons that thou art only able to teach us, and that it may not be for our complete destruction, and that we may not be left over to ourselves, but that thou wouldst have dealings with us in thy mercy. Wilt thou remember the nation as a whole, when men will be rejoicing in the midst of this world, as we are coming to the end of this year once again. But Lord, thou knowest what it shall be when we are coming to the end of our life, and when we shall have to stand before thee, our judge, and to give an account of all that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Oh, then all that rejoicing shall turn into a mourning and into a weeping. And then it shall turn into calling the mountains to fall on us and hills cover us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and of the Lamb. Oh, Lord, wilt thou give us to gather in this day? Oh, give us a seriousness about our life. Stir up a holy desires. And wilt thou grant a need to be felt and experienced in our soul? Help us, O Lord. Help us in the bringing of thy word. Give us sufficient strength in our weakness, and that we may be enabled to bring thy word in this hour. And wilt thou give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, a mouth to speak, thy spirit in our heart, that we may overflow with love for souls and with the honor of thy name, that thou thyself may be honored and glorified, magnified to the highest, man abased to the lowest. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 444, stanzas 2 and 5. O bless the Lord, who all thy needs supplieth, and thy soul with good he fully satisfieth, and like the eagles, he renews thy youth. And what follows, we announced that the last collection today is for the property purchase, and we also announced, because that was not in the bulletin, that the extra collection on New Year's Day morning is for the North American General Mission. Psalter 444, stanzas 2 and 5. Beloved congregation, we heard a little last week how that the Lord is pleased to be the Father of His children once again, and that they should be His sons and His daughters. This fatherhood that is recovered in His only begotten Son, and not only recovered to that which it was before, but we heard that it is a fatherhood that is also increased, that is bringing that people into a relation that is closer to the Father than had ever been possible before and without the fall. In the incarnation, then the Lord Jesus has taken upon Himself something which He did not have before. What was that? That was our flesh. That was our human nature. And Paul writes the reason that He has done so, that he says, in order that He may bring us to God. Congregation, was there ever a desire in your heart that you also may be brought unto God? Who could be more blessed in this world than to be the sons and the daughters of God Himself? And why? Well, that is in the first place for the communion that is belonging to this relation between the Father and the Son. Communion that is a very blessed thing. We experience that in a special way in times and seasons such as we are in now, when we may gather with those whom we love, and when we may commune with one another. And then it is a communion that is especially missed by those who have to miss their loved ones. But that communion that is between persons in this world, that is especially when they may be given to speak of those things with one another that are laying dearest to their hearts, when they may be enabled to share their concerns, their troubles, their joys, their sorrows. That is a blessed communion. But congregation, how much more is that communion blessed, that a man may have with God Himself, that he may approach unto the Lord, that he may come to the Lord, that he may lay before the Lord all the needs and all the cares and all the concerns that are living within his heart. And also the other side of that communion, and then he may read not only in the Word of God in an outward way, but when he may experience that the Lord, He speaks unto his soul through His Word, then it is a communion as no communion has been ever experienced with another person that is in this world. To experience that communion, that is something more than all the world can give us. Only ask those who have to miss those whom they love. And when our loved one passes away, then what is happening? Then immediately we are feeling something. Then immediately we are feeling the vanity of this world, the emptiness of this world. Then we say there is someone that is missing. And congregation, children, when the Lord will grant us a new heart, then this is exactly what we will feel. Then we will see, then we will feel something of the emptiness of this world, the vanity of this world, the carnality, that everything is passing away. And then it is not a missing of things anymore, but then it is a missing of someone. Then it is a missing of that blessed communion of Him who has made us. That is now the most blessed part of that reconciliation with God. But congregation, that is not the only part. No, there are more blessings, and our fathers, they continue to speak of them, and which we wish to consider together with you in this afternoon hour from Lord's Day 9 and 10. We began Lord's Day 9 last time. We'll read it once again, also with Lord's Day 10. Question 26. What believest thou? When thou sayest, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, answer, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by His eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ His Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And further, that He will make whatever evils He sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage, for He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. Question 27. What dost thou mean by the providence of God? Answer, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by His hand He upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, all things come, not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. Question 28. What advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by His providence doth still uphold all things? Answer, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. So far, our Lord's Day, we were considering faith in God the Father. Last time we heard faith in God the Father of his Son, and second, faith in God the Father of his children. And we said that today we would finish with our last thought, that is faith in God the Father of his creation. Congregation, so many today do deny that God is the Father of the universe, that he is the first cause, that he is the creator of the universe. And they do attribute the existence of this world to other causes. Supposedly, they say that is not faith that we need to have, but our knowledge that is based on evidence. It is based on things that we can see, that we can feel, that we can know exist. Thus we have in our time the theory of evolution. The Apostle Paul, he speaks about the oppositions of science, falsely so called. Thus men say that it is a theory that is based on science. But when the Bible speaks about oppositions of science, then it is a science which is falsely called science. Why? Because science, children, young people that you study in school, science that comes from God. And it is impossible that science should contradict that holy word of God. That theory of evolution that is very brazenly insisted upon as a fact in the days in which we live. That men say that there is now so much evidence that there is no question anymore. And so then you will not hear anything else when you will go to places where you may see, boys and girls, the dinosaurs, for example. Or if you may go to another place, then they will speak only about this theory of evolution. But they do not speak about it as a theory. No, they speak about it as fact. But it remains a theory. And it remains a theory that is of man. And it remains in absolute contradiction to that holy word of God. Supposedly, that is not based on faith. And yet, congregation, it is based on a certain faith, contrary to what many want to maintain. And we have spoken about this more in detail before, but we do not wish to speak about all of this then in this afternoon hour. But it is a theory which can never be proven. And it will never be proven because we cannot prove something which is false. Are we ashamed to speak about creation? Because there are those who do mock at it. And they speak about it as a fable, children, young people. And indeed, when we will speak about it in this world, then we can expect to be mocked. Thus, there are those that look down upon you when you will speak about it as if you are foolish because you believe in a miracle and they do not believe in a miracle. But is that really so? What is now more fantastical that this complex world in which you live, that was created by an intelligent being, that was created by a God with a design, with a purpose in mind, or that this complex world in which we live has come out of absolutely nothing, with no one to make it, who had no purpose in mind at all, then you may see that miracle that we may read of in the creation that is above our understanding, that is so true. But that fantastical story which is told by men who receive not the word of God, that is not only above our understanding, but it is directly contrary to the understanding. And so you need not be ashamed, boys and girls, young people, to speak about the creation of God. Paul, he says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that those things which are seen were not made by things which do appear, but that they were made by God Himself. There are some that say that God has indeed created the world, but that He has created that world over vast periods of time. Why do they say this? Well, because there is a certain shame. There is a false shame about speaking about that miracle of God to create that world in 6 days. And so they say, well, then there was a higher power, yes, that has created that world. And indeed, that was God. But those 6 days that God is speaking about in His Word, they are each one thousands and thousands of years. Because they say that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day. So be it, congregation. So it is. There is no time with the Lord. But we read in His holy word, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Why? For, he says, in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth. And thus it is so very, very clear for us. What does the Lord Jesus say about that false shame that we may have in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation where there is more and more of a rejection of God? Christ says, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, the Son of Man shall be ashamed of him when he shall come in his glory and in the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. Oh, let such a shame then never be found among us, but ask the Lord for that true saving faith. Why does man work so hard? Why does man work so hard to find a theory in which God Himself can be excluded, in which they can explain our existence and the existence of this world without having to speak about the existence and the creation of God Himself? Well, congregation, to acknowledge His existence is to acknowledge that He is also my Creator. And it necessarily follows that if God is my Creator, then God is also my Judge. And that God also has a law. And this is what it comes down to. I do not want to follow, I do not want to obey that law of God. In paradise, we have rejected Him. We have tried to be free from God. But congregate, and how is that for us? When we still continue in this world, do we also continue to desire to be free from God? Because man wanted to make his own law. Satan laid that before him as a temptation, that he should make his own laws, that he should be his own God, that he could say what is right, that he could say what is wrong, that he could decide what is good, that he could decide what is evil. Do we still live in the midst of this world, desiring to be free from that law of God? But fallen man, he does not understand what that true freedom is. Because man is finding freedom in slavery. He is finding freedom in slavery to sin. He finds freedom in his slavery to the world, in his service of the world. He finds freedom in bowing down to the God of this world. He thinks freedom is to be able to make his own choices. But he does not realize that the choices that he makes do bring him further and further into bondage. But now, what does the Lord Jesus say about freedom? He says, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And we see this in the blessedness that our instructors are here speaking about concerning the sons and the daughters of God, to whom the Lord says, I will be a father unto you. And then they tell who this father is. What do they say? Who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence. Sometimes, children, maybe you say, my father, he is very, very strong. Or maybe there is another boy or girl. Well, my father, he is a very rich farmer. And if we would come into trouble, well, then my father, he has plenty of money. Or maybe you say, my father, he is a very smart man. He is a teacher. He is a professor. He is a doctor. He has much wisdom. And then he knows about many, many things. And so a child, he is looking to his father. He is trusting his father. And that little child, he does not fear because of the attributes of his father. Then he is relying on his father. Does not realize how weak his father is. That is coming later. And when he begins to understand and see something of the consequences of our fall. But boys and girls, we want to ask you a question now. You think about this for a moment. Children, what if God was your father? What if your father was the creator of the whole world? Was the creator of the whole universe? What if that was your father? What if your father was he that was upholding everything by the word of his power? What if it was your father who was providing for each and every person in this whole world? What, boys and girls, if this was your father? Because that is now the father of the Church of God. By our innate knowledge, then we know that God is our judge. Because every man has a conscience. And by that conscience he understands that he has to stand before his judge. Then it is understandable that man would like to banish out of his thoughts that God, he is the creator of this world. Why? Congregation, if God is against us, and if we feel something of this, then all that power and all those resources that would belong to him, they are also against us. Think of what we have just heard. What have those wise men, they have spoken, and Zeresh, that wife of Haman, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but thou shalt surely fall before him. Or if he be of the seed of the Jews, that people that are cared for by the God of the heavens and of the earth, that was the wicked. That was the wicked. And there is this also today in the hearts, in the minds of the wicked. Because the wicked know that they shall appear before God. And then everything is with a desire to banish that thought that God is my maker and that God is my creator. But congregation, if God is our Father, then is it not exactly the opposite? Oh, to banish that thought that God is the creator of the whole universe, that is to rob the true Church of God of one of their greatest comforts. That is what our fathers are speaking about here. Because they say, He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And further, that He will make whatever evils He sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For He is able to do it, being Almighty God and willing, being a faithful Father. Thus do you hear it. There are two things. There are two things that our fathers say. They are here together for the immeasurable comfort of that true church of God. What are they? They are ability and willingness. Ability and willingness. They go together, and they must go together for the comfort of that true church of God. Where does that willingness come from? That willingness comes from that relation. That willingness comes because He is Father. It comes from that fatherhood. And the ability, well, that comes from that fact that He is the Creator of the heavens and of the earth. Or it can be, children, that our fathers, with all the love of their heart, they would like to help you, they would like to give to you, but they are not able. Why? Well, because they may not have it for you. Maybe they are too weak. Maybe they are too ignorant. Thus, we may have the one, we may have the fatherhood, we may have the desire, we may have the willingness, but without the ability, then you still cannot receive. On the other hand, you may have a man who has all the resources, he has all the riches, And he has the ability to give it to you. But you say, He is not my Father. And thus He is not willing. Thus, when you have only willingness and you have no ability, then you still do not receive. And if you have only ability and you have no willingness, then you still do not receive. But now if this ability is with your Father, then congregation, that is a people. That is a people who cannot lack anything. Thus this people, for whom God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, may be a Father unto them. That is a people that cannot lack. David, he says, I was young. Now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why? Cannot be. Because God is their Father, and He is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Let us sing 248, 1 through 4. No, 86. 86, 1, 2, and 3. Let all the earth Jehovah fear. Let all that dwell both far and near in awe before Him stand, and what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter 86. What dost thou mean by the providence of God, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand, not by chance. What, congregation, a disconcerting thing, idea, is the idea of chance. That is how we live by nature. In our unbelief, that all that is by chance, that there is no decreeing hand, no directing hand, that there is no purpose, that there is no meaning. Everything that happens is haphazard. That we just live in a chaotic world. Is it any wonder that there is so much depression? Is it not a wonder? Is it any wonder that there is so many that are taking their own lives? If there is no creator, that there is no governor, that everything is just happening on its own, that nothing has any meaning, then what is the meaning of my own life? But our fathers, they say it is so different. And that is according to the word of God. All things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand, that is the hand, the fatherly hand, the hand of God as father of his creation. And not only of his creation, but of his son and of his own children. The Father as the first cause of all things, and the Father as the continuing cause. He that is upholding, he that is continuing everything in its existence from moment unto moment. Everything happening for a reason. Everything with a purpose. A governor directing everything to a certain determinate end. Governed by the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. There is a general providence that is that he has over the whole world. There is a special providence that he has over his rational creatures. But then there is also a very special providence that he has over his children. Those are the corks upon which this world is floating. And that is now that is the end to which he is directing all things to his own honor, to his own glory. And thus everything in this world taking place, that his church may be brought in, as we have heard, children, that decree of Caesar Augustus. No, we may not know what that purpose is. Neither do we need always to know what that purpose of the Lord is, because the secret things we read, they belong unto the Lord our God. But boys and girls, do you need to know always the purpose of your father? The purpose of your mother? need to know that? Sometimes you like to know that. But what is the most important thing? Most important thing is that you know that it is your father, that you know that it is your mother. Because whatever their purpose is, that purpose is for you. That you may be sure. Even when you do not know their purpose, then you know that whatever it is, that my father loves me, that my mother loves me, and that they would never do anything that was against me. And thus, when it seems to be against you, then indeed you may say, but I am so sure that in the end, that it will be for me. Do you see what we need, children? Congregation. We do not need to know the purpose of everything. We only need to know that relation. We only need to know that God is our Father. That is why David says, happy is that people that are in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Our fathers, they say they have a great advantage. What is that advantage? What advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by His providence doth still uphold all things, and so that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from His love, since all creatures are so in His hand that without His will they cannot so much as move. Patient in adversity. How? Knowing that that adversity that is coming to me by the hand of my Father, without knowing what that specific reason is, known unto Him, hidden from myself. Oh, how good it is when a man is in adversity that he may only be able to say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did not Christ pray that when He was in the garden? I was speaking yesterday to the widower in our congregation, just for a moment. He will not mind, I think, if I say it. Then he spoke about that prayer. And he said, the first part, that this cup may pass from me. That he says, I can so fully enter into that, that this cup may pass from me. But now that second part, not my will, but Thy will be done. That I have to learn. Congregation, I could only say, I so wholeheartedly can understand what you say. Oh, that this cup may pass from me. That is our desire in the midst of adversity. But now to be able to say, Thy will be done. That is now that patience in adversity, which is the blessing that is belonging unto the true children of the Lord. Oh, who had more adversity than Job? Than Job. Everything taken away from him. And then not everything only taken away from him. In this world, even his own children, his own family, but then even his own familiar friends, they are against him. The very wife of his bosom curse God and die. O congregation, who is able to enter into the patience of Job, who may say in all this, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Patience. Patience in adversity. Why? Because it comes from his hand, an inestimable blessing of the children, that they may bear up under that adversity, and that they may be directed, that their eye may look upon him, and that they may be given to say, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, the privilege, congregation, of the children. Patience in adversity. Thankful in prosperity. What is now more difficult? What is now more difficult? Because when I am sick, but I am not well, then I need the Lord. But when I am well again, then yes, then quite honestly, then I can go on in my own strength. And then I can leave him well enough in his own place. Thankful in prosperity and thankfulness that is not lying in mere words. No, the apostle, he says, knowest thou not that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? What is that? Repentance. That is that we may be obedient. Obedience, that is the fruit of true thankfulness. That is what we look for, fathers, from our children. Oh, that obedience by the way of thankfulness. So the Father, he is looking for that obedience from his children. And what obedience is that? That he is looking for from his own children. Then he says, my son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. How is it, people of the Lord? In your prosperity, not in your adversity, no, but in your prosperity, may you give him your heart in your prosperity. How often then do you not have to say, how difficult is this? Thankful in prosperity, so that by times, then you are kissing the rod. Patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. O congregation, what is it to be a child? Child. And to have the God of the heaven and of the earth as our Father. What care now in all this world can such a people have if they may only be given to live as a child? How fruitful, how comforting is that knowledge of his fatherhood and of the fact that he is the creator and that he is the upholder of this whole universe. How often do we not say, child's life, that is an easy life. Is it not so? We know it. Child's life, that is a free life. Why, where do the burdens lay? The burden that lays on father, the burden that lays on mother, who will provide for you, children, who will give you food, who will give you drink. You say, my father will. And who will give you a place to stay tonight? Warm house. Who will provide that for you? Say, my father will. Then you run off to play. Without a care. Without a concern. Do you see it, young people? The free life. Free life. Adam did not understand it when he took of that fruit and he looked for freedom in independence, in making his own choices and providing for himself. Then he did not choose that free life. But if the Son shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. Free in the way of dependence upon your own Father, the Creator of the heavens and of the earth. Oh, may the Lord bless His word. May the Lord make you wholly jealous of the children. Of the children of God, the Father of His Son, the Father of His children, the Father of His creation. Because He will provide them everything that is necessary for soul and body. Whatever evils will befall them in this valley of tears, He will turn it to their advantage because He is able to do it, being Almighty God, and He is willing, being a faithful Father. Is He also your Father? That is all we need. That is all. That He may be a Father unto us. Therefore, He says, seek Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, they shall be added unto you. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot fathom and we cannot enter into. We have no words to speak of the blessings of the children, thy children, of whom thou art the Father. And we can only say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But could it be that in this hour that thou wouldst give, that this word of thee may be sanctified. Lord, that we may be given to go from this place with a knowledge of our poverty, and that we may be wholly jealous of that portion. Bring us together. If it could please thee in this coming week, with desire in thy house, that we may so end this year under thy word and testimony, and begin also the new year so, we may acknowledge thee for all the help thou hast given unto us. A little strength for this work wilt thou grant it unto us further. Forgive our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 248:1-4. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide, and in his shadow safely hide. 1-4. Psalter 248. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.